Hi, it's Ezra. Welcome to Two Queers, Four Questions, in which Agnes and I excavate Judaism from a countercultural, queer, artist perspective. We're now on a sort of season two of the show, Two Queers, Five Books, in which we alternate weeks writing about the weekly Torah portion, dreaming into its mysteries with our whole selves. Let's go. Metzora. I'm lying in bed. The door closed. It's daytime. Things are happening on the other side of the door. People are talking, making food. Children are playing. There's music. I'm lying here in pain, trying to keep my thoughts from turning toward the dark. I know I will feel better soon. I hope I will feel better soon. This is just for now, not forever. Soon I will be able to get up and help cook and put my kid to bed and play music and take walks with people. Today is just one of my bad days. Maybe it's not even a bad day. Maybe I just hurt. Pain is lonesome. Illness takes you out of the world, out of your life. It just does. People can visit you. People can help you. Whole new forms of love and relationship can bloom in the room of a sick person. But even one who loves you can't feel what you feel. There are some times when there is no choice but to be left alone with your body. This week's parsha is more laws of tzara'at, the almost absurdly specific set of skin outbreaks that, as far as anyone doing anything like science knows, has never been seen in actual human society. This year, I'm understanding the book of Leviticus, Vayikra, in a way I never have before. The whole book is a kind of dream, a fugue state, the disconnected vision of someone who comes close to God. God called to Moses and he went into the tent of meeting, and what happened next makes almost no sense at all. It's some kind of chemical reaction when the divine touches the human. An inexplicable outbreak on the most intimate skin of the Torah scroll, hidden deep in the secret middle. Leviticus seems disgusting at first, but it's the kind of thing where if you really lean in and look at it, it's so beautiful, so strange. It's not human. It's outside of human culture, this book. And sometimes that's alienating. Of course it is. The high priest was not a human being, the Midrash tells us. When he was possessed by the Holy Spirit, his face flamed like torches. But if the book is so pure and holy that it becomes inhuman, it also goes outside of society in another way, in a way that we tend to think of as the opposite direction. Because Leviticus is inarguably obsessed with the physical, the animal. Practically every chapter contains not only animals, but those animals' organs, their feces, their blood, and their meat. And this week we have not only the detailed colors and textures of aberrations of human skin, but also laws about menstrual blood, semen, and fluids of unknown content, possibly gonorrhea. The stuff that reminds us how mysterious our bodies are, how little control we ultimately have over them, how they fail and leak and ache and break and die. How at certain moments we remember that our bodies are as much part of nature as the ocean, as the wilderness. That the body is a vast and untamed place where you can get lost. A place where words fail. Where we might encounter a wild God calling us into the mystery. It's as if human social life, its relationships and logic and attachments and big feelings, are a point on one side of a circle, and on the far side of the circle is God. You can curve up through the mystical, the pure, the high-minded, the disembodied, to reach our source. Or you can curve the other way, down through the physical, the animal, the blood and shit, the thick woods out back where no one ever goes. And that way, too, leads to God. Vayikra, with its hyper-pure priests, is often seen as rejecting the physical, or as set on an invasive, iron-fisted control of the human body. and I can't deny that reading of the book. It's more than a legitimate read. The thread of disgust is often undeniable. But is there also something else here? Could this book be offering a way of loving the body, in that it asks for deep attention to the body? What it doesn't do is say, oh, we don't speak of such things. It doesn't pretend the body is not happening. It interrupts formal religious life. It sets ritual aside in deference to bodily fluids, to contact with death. And it makes us confront the animal. A person with a confirmed case of tzara'at is required to leave society. They have to be alone. The text specifies this. They have to sit outside of the camp or the city all alone until their disease goes away. We're in this inhuman place now. I recoil at the brutality of this enforced isolation. And at the same time, I recognize it. The loneliness of illness and pain. This is some kind of dream version of that, a hallucinatory ritualization of something that anyone with a body experiences at some point. Tzara'at is maybe a fantasy of the silently suffering person. What if everyone could see as plain as day that something's wrong with me? What if it was understood, approved of by all, that I have to be alone with my body this week? And then, what happens when we are left alone with our bodies? There's a bizarre ritual for when the Matsora's skin clears up. They no longer have to isolate outside of the camp or city, but they have to come to the priest and do this ritual with birds. This is how our parsha opens. The healed Matsora brings two birds, and first of all, the priest kills one of the birds and lets its blood collect in some water. Then the priest takes the live bird, holds it in a bundle with some cedar wood and hyssop, and dips it into the blood of the other bird. Next, he splatters the blood water onto the recovered Matsora 7 times. And then he takes the bloody live bird to an open field and sets it free, lets it fly away into nature, flapping its wings and scattering drops of the other bird's blood as it flies. There's something about this gruesome show that matches the worst parts of the experience of illness. It's as visceral as watching and feeling your body betray you. The sick person has been alone with their body, confronting the terror of the physical, touching death. They've survived, but they could just as easily have been the other bird. Having been alone with their mortality and pain, they're now publicly covered in blood. The inside is on the outside. This Shabbat is Shabbat HaGadol, the great Shabbat, the Shabbat before Passover. And there's something elemental about Passover. It's a moment of intense renewal, starting over from the bare essentials. On every Pesach, a Jew becomes like a new person, says the Sfat Emet, like the newborn child each of us was as we came forth from Egypt. He goes on to compare that state of newness to matzah, the simplest version of bread, which has not been expanded by fermentation, is just itself, undeveloped, stark. That's us. We will move forward toward Shavuot over the ensuing 7 weeks, growing and learning and getting ready to receive the Torah. But on Pesach, we emerge from the Red Sea as newborns covered in blood, wailing for help, simply and viscerally freed. Passover, unlike Shavuot, is not only conceptual in our minds, it's also in our bodies. It has all this physical ritual. We actually eat the symbols of Passover. Illness, for better and for worse, brings us back to the basics, back to our bodies. We re-enter them like entering a wilderness. We leave society. We are again animals who feel and hunger and ache. Sometimes we have to relearn how to live. Maybe the Matsora, when she leaves the camp, is reenacting the exodus from Egypt. Maybe she gets a chance to start over, to go into the wilderness and receive the Torah anew. Maybe that's the chance I have this year, struggling with a mysterious chronic illness that has taken me out of my life as I knew it, redrawn the boundaries of my world, left me lying in my room for hours in pain. What happens when we are left alone with our bodies? God is there with us. Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham. They will make me a tabernacle, and I will dwell within them, in their bodies. When no one else is around, when I'm lying in pain, God lives in me, untamed, raging as fire rages, closer than my own pillow, loving me as I am, asking me to love her back as she is. Alone, I confront my body and its weakness. Alone, I touch death. For a moment, for an hour or a day, I am outside the human. I have reached that wild place where the animal meets its source. And I've survived. I'm alive. I'm free. I'm starting over. I'm a bird covered in blood, flying madly across an open field.